It is great to be with you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. As has been mentioned a few times, we were blessed that Colton Scott was able to speak with us this morning. I really wish if you did not get up early enough to come to Sunday school, you would have. It was really great. You should do that anyhow, by the way. But it was really great. Really eye-opening in a lot of ways. And so I do hope that you will make sure that you are here on August 7th. If you could see that lady drinking out of that mud hole, as Kent pointed out, they do have a well there, and I'm thankful for that now. But it was through the generosity of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and football players and everybody else that was able to help get that done. But Colton, thank you very much for coming down our way. And we also thank Miss Glenda for passing that message to Justin, right? And Justin for calling, because I've gotten those messages before from Glenda and thrown them in the trash myself, Colton. But anyhow, it is great to be with you today. I am thankful for the opportunity to be able to talk to you from God's Word. The sign, who is Jesus? It's a question that a lot of people ask, right? Who is Jesus? There are people in the world today that believe that Jesus was a lunatic. There are people that believe he was a liar. People that believe he was fake. Obviously, people that believe he was Lord and is Lord. If you ask a lot of people throughout, I guess, time and throughout the world, you get a lot of different answers. But here's one thing I rest assured knowing. Jesus Christ knows exactly who he is. And when we're talking about the theme of identity, we've been talking about identity now. This is our second week. Identity's big, especially in the counseling world. When you counsel people, you want to know who you are, who they are. In fact, you can fill out forms and do different studies to figure out what's going on in their family history to maybe trigger what's causing them to think this way or causing them to react this way or struggle the way that they are. You see, identity is big in life. You'll hear people now talking about who are you? What's your purpose statement? What's your mission statement? HHI had a vision. They had a mission. We as a church have a mission statement, a vision statement. Some individuals, some families are starting to do that now to determine who exactly they are. You know, when it comes down to it, the question that I want you to be able to answer throughout this series of study is, what's your identity? People say, Terry, who are you? Or they introduce, hey, I'm so-and-so, who are you, is what they're asking. Well, my name is given to me by my parents as Terrell Gregory Cagle. And go by Terry. I am the minister of the Azalea City Church of Christ. I am a father to Beau and to Madeline. I am a husband to Michelle. I have two brothers, you know, I have two dogs. I mean, we could go on down the list, right, of who I am. But I don't really want that to be my identity. You see, today when people say, if something tragically was to happen to me, and of course I hope I've got more time on this earth, I want to see my children raised and want to see great things happen, continue to happen here at Azalea City, more wells be dug. You know, I don't want today to be it, but if it were, and there was a gathering to what we call us to celebrate my life, simply put, just have whoever's going to say it, Justin or whoever's going to say those words, say, hey, here is the body of Terry Cagle, but that's not who he was. He's a child of the King. You see, that's what I want to be remembered as. That's who I want people to know. When they leave my presence, I want them to know, and I don't always succeed at it, but I want them to know, hey, that person loves Jesus Christ. So the question has to be, who are you? Who am I? In Exodus chapter 3, Eli. First time ever reading Scripture today. Man, what a blessing. You did an awesome job. Proud of you. He was so ready to do it, he asked me last Wednesday. Boy, when you give a Scripture for the lesson on Wednesday, you can't change it, you know? But you know what he read to us? He read to us Exodus 3, verse 14. when Moses is to go to Pharaoh, right? And Moses is so confused, he sees this bush that's on fire, but it's not being consumed. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And the place you're standing is holy ground, so take your sandals off. And he's listening to the voice of God. And God says all these things to him. I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go and all that. He's like, who am I going to say, send me? How am I going to march into Pharaoh's house? By the way, if he'd have listened to God's plan, that would have been real easy. But he blew it, right? And so now he's got to go through Midian and go through to crawl his way back, per se. But he said, who am I to go into Pharaoh and say, let God's people go? Who am I going to say sent me? God said this, you say to Pharaoh, I am who I am. You see, I am, fill in the blank. That's who God is, right? He said, I am, which translate Yahweh, right? YHWH, Yahweh. I am Lord Jehovah. I am the one, the only true living God. And you remember when he went to Pharaoh and he said that? You remember Pharaoh's question, who is this Lord? God said, I'll show you exactly who I am. Well, see, sometime later, there was Jesus Christ, right? All those years later, Jesus Christ came, the I Am, in the flesh. And the way the Jews had it drawn up, it was going to be special when God came to earth, right? He was going to live in the finest of temples. He was going to have the finest kingdom, the finest throne, the finest throne room. I mean, think about what Solomon had built for God. And God wasn't here literally on earth. Now, Christ is coming to earth. God in the flesh, the I Am in the flesh, is coming to earth knowing exactly who He is. But here's what Paul said about Him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, the I Am, if you will, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why would Jesus Christ do it? Why would the I Am become flesh and dwell with the poor? And dwell with the bondservants. Be born and put in a food trough. We talked about and heard about people drinking from the same water that cows are defecating in. A food trough is not much different. And they laid the I Am in the flesh in a food trough that we fancy up and call a manger. Why would he give it all up? Because he knew exactly who he was. Kent's already pointed it out to us this morning. It's amazing how those things work. Kent said that Jesus Christ is the only way. John chapter 14 now. Verses 1 through 6. Jesus about to leave earth, about to depart his disciples who love him dearly. And remember now, he spent 3 years of his public ministry doing a lot of great things, but he did it to get them ready so that they could bring the church into existence. And now they're concerned because I don't think they fully got it. They didn't fully grasp it. But they're troubled. They're heartbroken. And so here's how John records Jesus opening up what we call John 14 to them. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord," again, he didn't get it, right? "We do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, and you want to talk about our identity. Let's pause for a moment. Who are you? Who am I? I'm a child of the King. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm going to represent Him, right? We're going to do our John Brown best to represent Him everywhere we go, around everybody we come in contact with. I'm going to let this little Christian light of mine shine all around the neighborhood. I'm not going to let Satan blow it out. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. We sing that song, right? That's who I am. But do we know who we submitted to? Jesus Christ knew who He was. He said to Thomas, He said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." On the eve of Jesus' crucifixion, He has sat down with these disciples to have Passover meal with them. It's during this evening that Judas arises to betray Him. Jesus told the disciples that He would be betrayed and then be put to death. But He opened up and He comforted them with this passage. You see, Jesus in this passage, verse 1, He speaks concerning the place He knows He's going. In verse 3, He tells them this place is prepared for them as well. As Kent read to us from Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians, we can't even, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and our minds cannot imagine how great this place is going to be. Thomas asked that question. And it's a question that every one of us wanting to know who holds our identity should be asking today. How do we get there? What is the way? Jesus' answer is known as one of the most beloved and quoted scriptures to all of those who are of the household of faith. In this scripture, Jesus identifies to all the world why our identity should be found in Him, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Through scripture, we learn a lot about Jesus Christ. We learn that He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh, the I am in the flesh, right? He is the Alpha, the Omega, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. And in all three of these, the way, the truth, and the life, it teaches us volumes more about why He did what He did. And so today, I'd like to break down that verse. And as we talk about identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ, either our identity is in Jesus or it's in the world. There's no in between. Our identity is in Jesus or it's in the world. We're trying to elevate ourselves. So we got to know who we are. But we also got to know who we belong to. In order to do that, I'd like for us to discuss today Jesus being the way, Jesus being the truth, and Jesus being the life. Number one, this morning, very simple, Jesus knows He is the way. That's who Jesus Christ is. You see, there are only two ways, right? Jesus could have come and He could have set up that throne room we talked about. He could have sat on that throne and He would have been the only man who's ever walked this earth that it would have been okay to bow the knee to. He would have been the only one that was deserving of it because He was the I am in the flesh. He's God in the flesh. He's Yahweh in the flesh. It would have been okay for us to do that because He's God. But Paul said He made Himself of no reputation. Why would He give it all up? Because he knew in order to do it, he had to be the way. He had to be your way and he had to be my way. You know, when you put your GPS in, I use GPS a lot because sense of direction is not my strong suit. But when you put your GPS in, they give you several different ways, don't they? You can get there the fastest way. You can get there maybe a way to avoid toll roads or, you know, they give you three or four of them. Most of the time, we probably choose the fastest. When it comes to the GPS of getting to heaven, here's the good news about it. If you don't like choices, that's good, because there's only one. Jesus knows He is the way. But there are two choices that we can make in life. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 30. Beginning in verse 15. See, I've set before you today. Moses is writing now. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. This is a long time before Jesus, but it hasn't changed. Even today, it hasn't changed, right? I said before you today, two choices, life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Moses says, I give you two choices. Who are you? Who are you? What are you going to do? Are you going to choose life? Are you going to choose death? Joshua, the leader that takes over, tells the people the same thing, really, in Joshua 24, doesn't he? He says, you can make a choice, but choose today who you will serve. The gods on the other side of the rivers were Jehovah. He said, I know who I am. And I know the choice I made. I choose God. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There are multiple masters. As we're identifying who we are, as a church, as an individual, there are two masters. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or riches or mammon. There are two gates. Matthew 7:13-14. There's a wide gate that leads to death and destruction. And then there's a narrow that leads to life eternal. When it comes to making our choice as what our identity is, which one will we choose? Jesus also, knowing that He is the way, He said that His way, or we know through Scripture, His way is not always going to be easy. When we choose to put our identity in Christ and to be known as children of the I Am, guess what? It's not always going to be easy. Jude 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He said, you got to contend for it. There's a battle going on. There's a war that's raging. Ephesians 6:12, Paul said, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Why do people not choose to identify with Christ today? Because there's a war. There's a battle going on. Yeah, it's good versus evil. It's us versus Satan, right? And a lot of times, Satan gets the upper hand. Because Satan's way is easy. But Christ, knowing exactly who He was, He said, I am the way. You got two choices. You can choose Me, or you can choose the path to destruction. It's not always going to be easy. But even though it may be a struggle, His way is worth fighting for. Christ's way is the only way for us to be Christians. Acts 16:17. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Acts 18:26. So he, that's Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way, singular, of God more accurately. Acts 24:15. Paul in his defense before Felix. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. You know, that's what the church was called to begin with. The way. Those of the way. Those of Jesus. Jesus knows exactly who He is. This way is the only way to heaven. Matthew 7:14. Because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Those that walk Christ's way will receive heaven, Romans 2:7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Why do I choose Jesus? Because Jesus is the way. Jesus also, knowing exactly who He was, He said to Thomas and to all those disciples, He said, I know exactly who I am. I am the truth. You see, Jesus is the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There are a lot of lies out there. Have you ever noticed, especially in social media world, there are a lot of people not true to who they really are? You notice that? No, I'm not asking you to judge. I mean, facts reveal that to be true. You ever ran into somebody and be like, whoa, you look a lot different than your Facebook? They got 400 filters on that picture on Facebook. Okay? Like, whoa, I mean, you don't look anything like yourself. Don't say that, by the way, probably. But, I mean, listen. Maybe I need to take some and start coloring my hair a little more. I don't know. But we are who we are, right? Wrinkles, gray hair, everything at all. I'm not telling you don't take filters, but who are we truly? Sometimes those girls on Instagram, I say girls, teenage girls, I've seen it and all, they will take a picture like 45 times to get the right focus on what they want to show to the world. But here I am. Give me all the hearts you want. Give me all the little thumbs up, likes you want, because this is me. No, it's not. You took that picture 44 other times. There's a lot of deceit out there. So it makes sense that the deceiver is going to try to tell you who Jesus is not. He is not the way, the deceiver says. He is not the truth. He's a lie. Yeah, I don't know who said it. I probably should have looked it up. But you know that old quote? I kind of referenced it earlier. There's only just a few people Jesus could be. He was either a lunatic, crazy man that just made it all up. He was either a liar, somebody that just lied and said who He was, or He's Lord. That's about all the choices there are. Lunatic, liar, or Lord. Satan's going to tell you He's a lunatic. Satan's going to tell you He's a liar. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. I am the Lord. John 17:17, in Christ's prayer to the Father, He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's logos. That's who I am. Remember, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's logos. That's who I am. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So Jesus being the truth, what does it do for us? The truth sets us free. John 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Galatians 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, that's freedom, that's free, by which Christ, or the truth, has made us free. So when Jesus knows exactly who He is, when He knows He is the way, when He knows He is the truth, and we know He is the way, and we know He is the truth, then we're going to be free. But what else is the truth? What else was Jesus saying? He said the truth brings us to heaven. Those who live by the truth have their names written in the book of life, Philippians 4, verse 3. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Those who reject the truth will not be found in the book of life, Revelation 20, verse 15. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who are you, Jesus? Jesus, how do we know who we're supposed to be? How do we know where you're going? How do we know the way? He said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. But He didn't end there. He said, I'm also the life. The life. Without Jesus, there is no life. Oh, no, Terry, that's not true. Without Jesus, we're all here today. No, I'm talking about any kind of life. Without Jesus Christ, there is no kind of life. Now, there's those that believe we come from pond scum and tadpoles and frogs and apes, etc. To that crowd, there's a whole different lesson. But to those of us who are here today, you would not be here today physically or spiritually without Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember way back in Genesis when the Godhead said, let us make man. That's the God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. Physically, without Jesus being the I Am, we're not here. But now that we are here physically, it really matters spiritually. Spiritually, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You know, and I don't know why that's so hard to fathom. Let me put it to you in perspective. Oh, the I Am God, the one that He told Moses, you tell Pharaoh, I am who I am sent you. I am Yahweh, I am Jehovah. They can have all these other goofy gods out there that I'm going to attack, but I am the only true living God. That God, God the Father, He is so holy. Talk about water today. How about we have a bottle of clean, purified, meaning it wasn't clean to begin with, purified water, right? But let's just say it's 100% from some deep well and it's never had any imperfection in it whatsoever. I take the lid off of it. That's as pure as it gets, right? And one dust particle that we can't even see falls into it. Guess what it's done? It's fouled up the pureness of that. Gold, we find gold. Is this pure gold? No, it's 99 point something. Why? Because it's so hard to find purity. In fact, it's so hard to find purity, there's only one that I know, and that's God. He's so holy that the angels, when Isaiah saw it, were running around chanting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They were chanting it in threes because in the Hebrew that meant the superior of holiness. It doesn't get... Remember, Isaiah felt pretty good about himself. He volunteered, "I'll go." Then he saw God and he said, "Oh no, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Come pure, come purge my lips." That's how holy God is. When Eve ate, when Adam ate, holy God, the I Am, could never be in the presence of man again. Unless the I Am Son came to earth to be tempted in all points as we are, to resist all those temptations and build a bridge to get us from here to there. Why did Jesus give up heaven? Why did He give up that superiority? Why did He humble Himself and become obedient to the point of death? Even the death of the cross, as horrible as it was, a sinner's death, a criminal's death, a murderer's death. Why would He do that? Because He knew exactly the point of who He was, and in order for us to get back to God and to make our identity in heaven, He had to be the way, the truth, and the life. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy," John said. Jesus' words, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." When I stand up here and challenge you, and I challenge me, and as an eldership, we challenge all of us to elevate ourselves. In order to do that, we got to know who we are and who we belong to. You know that Jesus belonged to heaven? You know He belonged to that same purity that God did? But because He knew He was the way, the truth, and the life, He knew He had to come. But while He was here, I would imagine from the time He was old enough to comprehend to the time He said, "It is finished," He never had an identity crisis. He knew exactly who He was. He knew exactly what He was doing. And He knew exactly who He was doing it for. Jesus' statement in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Thomas, didn't end there. He said, "No one comes to the Father except by me." Today, do you want to belong to Jesus? Do you want to belong to God? I hope that you do. I hope you already do. Majority do today. If you are, keep on keeping on. But if today you've been in conflict with who you are, it's time to make a change. It's time to make a change to submit your life to Jesus Christ. Submit your life to God. The only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. You want to identify with the church today? You want to identify with Jesus Christ today? Be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, allowing God to contact you with the blood of Jesus. Maybe today you've done that. And since then, the devil, the liar, the deceiver, he's gotten to you. He's convinced you. Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is a lunatic. Jesus is a liar. And because of that, you've made Him not be Lord of your life. Today, let's get your identity back. Come home. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.